When Jesus was in the upper room, what did he tell the disciples there? He said, listen, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, and here's the new part, as I have loved you. By this, all the world will know that you're my disciples.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good day, everyone. Today on Love Never Fails, Pastor Bill continues his study in the New Testament epistle of 1 Corinthians with part two of the message, Love Builds Up. Now let's listen in.
You know, we could say for ourselves, okay, we know that idols are nothing. We know what is behind an idol. Paul can say, yes, and I know that as well. And some of the believers in Corinth knew that, hey, idols are nothing. We're just going to eat the meat anyway. But then there were some. Boy, they didn't feel that way. And there were many. Or this epistle wouldn't have been written about that. And that's why Paul says in verse 7, however, there is not in everyone that knowledge. Meaning the knowledge found in verses 4 through 6, that there's no such thing as a demon. Now look what he says. For some, with consciousness of the idol, unto now eat it as a thing offered to an idol. And their conscience being weak is what? Defiled. It's defiled because they do something. They don't want to do it, but they do it. And when they do it, their conscience starts attacking them and so forth. Now listen, let me read this from another version so you get just a little bit of a better picture here. It says in verse 7 again from another version, it says, nevertheless, not all believers possess this knowledge, but some, through being all of their lives unto now accustomed to thinking of idols as real, to thinking of idols as something that is living, and still consider the food that is offered to an idol as that sacrifice to an actual God, and their weak consciences become defiled and they become injured if they eat it. You'll notice in verse 7 that the weak believers' conscience can become defiled. And then in verse 12, it can become wounded. And then in verse 13, it can also become offended. See, their conscience, here we are at a table, we're eating, there's a Christian, and he says, hey, those idols are nothing, and I'm sitting next to him, and I believe that that meat's been sacrificed to an idol. I watch him eat that, and then I'm goaded. I'll do it, okay? But the moment I do that, I am grieved. I am wounded. I am injured in my conscience. Why? Because I believe in my conscience it's sin. I've just sinned by partaking of it. I grew up with idols. I've watched my family from the very moment I was a little boy. In other words, that's what this is speaking of. I watched every day. We worshiped and did all those things, and we sacrificed food to the idols. And he says, I just can't get it out of my heart. I can't get it out of my mind. My conscience is driving me crazy. And the older believer, or the mature believer, or the strong believer, whichever one he is, he says, it's no big deal. Go ahead. But it defiles himself. Listen, the weak believers are wounded. See, knowledge always puffs up or inflates, but love always builds up the believer. Amen? And that's what we're supposed to do. Verse 8. Now watch what he says. Again, remember, this is the introduction to all the rest of it. He says, but food does not commend or literally bring us near to God. It says, for neither if we eat are we the better, nor if we don't eat, are we the worse? In other words, we're fully accepted in Christ Jesus no matter what we're eating, amen? So, in other words, I'm at liberty to eat anything, and also my brother or my sister is at liberty to not eat anything. Does that make sense? That's what Paul is saying. I mean, you know, if you went down to Sweetwater, like I told the first service, you know, Sweetwater, Texas, what do they do there? Is everybody from California in here? Is there any true Texans left? Well, that's the rattlesnake roundup, remember? Never mind. Well, God doesn't care if you eat rattlesnakes. I wouldn't partake of one. you know, the little shake, rattling. I don't want any of that. No, but you know what the Bible says? Remember what Paul said in 1 Timothy 4:4? He says this about food. He says, every creature of God is good. The animals. It's just good. And nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, meaning, thank God, I'm so thankful. Thank you for the food that you've given to me. And it's sanctified, meaning that T-bone steak, whatever you have, sanctified by the word of God and by when you pray. You pray over your food. That's why it's important. You go to Luby's, you better pray. you're in trouble. You better do something when you get there. Paul writes in Romans 14:2, he says this, for one believes he can eat anything, all things, but he who is weak, the weak believer, well, he eats only vegetables. Well, let not him who eats despise him who doesn't eat. In other words, if you're into pig's feet, that's your problem. I'll never eat pig's feet, but I'm not going to despise you because of that. Is that okay? He goes on and he says, and let him not who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received them. In other words, you know, some people, they just won't eat anything. They're just totally organic food. I love you. I don't care. But you know, there's something, I never judge you for eating that sissy tofu stuff. Never. I'll never do that. You know, I mean, and if you like fried chicken, I can only eat fried chicken once in a while. You know, sometimes the staff here, you know, we'll go and we'll get chicken and we'll sit down all just to have lunch together. And about 3 weeks ago, man, we had fried chicken. But you pay for it. It'll hurt you. So, you know, and so, some of us, you know, when we eat, I notice that they eat with their hands. You know, chicken. There's not a problem. And then some, you know, they use the knife and the fork the proper way. You know what I mean? But I'm not going to judge them for that. No, the Bible says, Paul says in Romans 14:6, he who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. And he who does not eat to the Lord, well, he doesn't eat and gives thanks. So it doesn't matter. You know, if like I told the first service, I said, man, I was thinking the other day, you know how it is when you make, you know, like, you know, cream corn? But no, it's off the cob, you know, where you, oh, and it's fresh. You know, you go down to the farmer's market, cook that up, it's creamy. And then you know, those homemade biscuits, not that crummy bread, man. I mean, real bread. And you know how it rises in the oven? Then you put real butter in the middle of it, it's dripping. Then you get that real jam and put it in there and you put, what do? You give, I eat to the Lord. That's what Paul said to do. I give you thanks, Lord. You bet. That's good. No, but now listen, it's okay to eat like that. But look at verse 9, very important. But look what that warning is. Beware. Lest somehow this liberty that you have in Jesus, okay, this liberty of yours, it says, become a stumbling block. In other words, an offense, a cause of offense, tripping up another believer to those who are weak. Now listen, see, what may be harmless to one believer, man, could be totally fatal to another believer. Amen? Boy, that's so important. Paul says, man, you beware. Don't you do anything that's going to cause a weak, a baby Christian or an immature Christian or one that it violates their conscience. And they don't try to convince them. Leave them alone. Man, you don't want to do anything that's going to cause them to stumble. I mean, for example, you know, let's take, you feel that you have a liberty to go down to Julio's. Is it Julio's or Uncle Julio's? Uncle Julio's. And you know, so you've ordered your whatever you've ordered, and then I was watching TV this week, and they have a commercial out. It's, I don't know what it is, but it's the margarita. And it's like they put it, it's frozen or something. Steam is coming out of their nose and their mouth. And have y'all seen that? Yeah. And I'm going, oh, man. I mean, that's freaky, isn't it? Well, you know, if you say, well, I can have a margarita with my Mexican dinner. Okay, can you? Are you going, you're doing that, and I just have one, I don't mean, you know. But then you have that guy that's come in, he's, you know, you're an usher in the church or whatever, an elder, deacon, there you are having one of those and having your dinner, but that's all you're going to have, just that one. But then that guy walks in that came to Christ last week. You see, he was a drunk before. He was an alcoholic. And he sees you do that. And he goes, oh, wow. You mean so? I mean, he's a leader in a church and or just a, you know, whatever. And I mean, if he can do that, even though I had a problem, well, now that I'm in Christ, I guess I can do this. Do you see what I'm getting at? No, listen. You know, sometimes I counsel at restaurants. Well, if I know that the person that I'm going to be counseling had an issue, say, with alcohol, I would never take them to the Hofbräu. I mean, not that we would go to the bar, we go sit at the table, but there's beer everywhere, or booze. You understand what I mean? No, you would never do that. See, that's a terrible thing to do, you know, to do those things. You know, see, what you do is seen by others, and it can have an effect upon those people as well. That's why Paul says in verse 10, he says, if anyone sees you, sees whom? You who have knowledge eating in an idol's temple. In other words, the temple there, they would go and they were dining at the temple. Well, they knew that all that food had been sacrificed to demons or to the idols. Look what he says. Will not the conscience of him who is weak be emboldened to eat those things offered to idols? In other words, he sees you doing it. And he says, well, okay, I guess I can do it too. In other words, if a brother sees you eating at that place called McDonald's, you know, I mean, and he might go and defile his entire being and conscience and eat at McDonald's too. You know, we don't want to do those things. Paul said, if they see you eating, they're going to be encouraged to do something. You're a strong believer, man. If they can do it, well, all right, I'm going to go ahead and step out and do it. Listen, do you know that the freedom that we have in Christ might ruin another believer? Do you understand me? Oh, the limit of our liberty is always love. See, love is the only way for a Christian to live. Look at verse 11. And because, Paul says now, of your knowledge, your loveless knowledge, I should add to Scripture, he says, because of your knowledge shall the weak brother perish? In other words, instead of you building him up, are you now going to tear him down? And look what he says, for whom Christ died. Listen, every Christian, Jesus died for the whole world, amen? But he also died for the weak brother, the weak sister. And Paul's saying, you know what, if Jesus loves them and they're weak, can you not do the same thing? Can you not lift them up? Can you not build them up by loving them? For God so loved the world, he gave. Can you not do the same thing? And that's what he's saying here. He says, but when you thus sin, this is a very important scripture, when you sin against the brethren and wound, that word means to inflict by striking like a blow to hurt them, and you wound their weak conscience, in other words, by inducing them to eat meat sacrificed to idols, look what it says you do. You sin against whom? Can you believe that? Man, causing a believer to stumble is more than a sin for a believer. Man, it's a sin against our Savior. It's a sin against the one who set us free. What does that mean? It means that what is done to his people, the Lord's people, it is also then done unto him. You remember in Acts chapter 9, verse 4, Saul, it was Saul then of Tarsus. He was on the road to Damascus. You know the story. And the Lord appeared to him and said, oh, Paul, why are you persecuting me? And Paul had not been persecuting Jesus. He had been persecuting Christians, locking women, men into prison and so forth. But Jesus didn't say that. He said, no, wait, you're persecuting me, Paul. Why are you persecuting me? Listen, we are one. Amen. We are the body of Christ. Every blow that we as believers inflict upon one another is felt by our Lord. Why? We're his body. We're the naos. We're the temple of God. Amen? If I hurt you, I'm hurting the Lord. If I speak evil against you, I'm speaking evil against the Lord's body. Do you see what I'm getting at? Man, it says, we sin against the Lord. Merce put it like this. He said, you can no longer look into the eyes of a Christian without meeting there the gaze of Christ. Boy, that's a powerful word to me. When I look at you, you know, what does it say in Romans? For us to receive one another exactly the same way that Christ Jesus has received us. See, you're the body of Christ. I'm the body of Christ. We're all one together. Whenever Jesus, and there in Matthew's gospel, the 25th chapter, remember when Jesus said, you know, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty. You gave me drink. I was in prison. You came and visited me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. And they said, oh, Lord, well, when did we visit you in prison? When did we feed you? And when did we give you a drink? And Jesus said in Matthew 25:40, he says, I say unto you, when you did it unto the least of them, my brethren, you did it unto me. Loved one, listen, that verse right there, you should memorize that. We don't want to ever cause a weak person, a weak Christian to stumble in any way. Amen? Because to do so is to literally sin against our Savior. You see, it says, beware. There is a limit to a Christian's liberty that he has in Christ. Love always builds up, and that's what we always need to do. Look at verse 13. He says, therefore, remember when you see a therefore, you go back and find out what it's there for. You go to the previous verse. So it would read like this. Therefore, to avoid sinning against Christ by wounding a weaker believer. Now watch. He says, therefore, if food, and I'm going to add to Scripture, or anything, doesn't matter. If food makes my brother stumble, if it causes an offense, if it trips him up, I will, what's that next word? Never. He's that literally Paul saying, as long as this world exists, as long as I'm alive, I will never again eat meat lest I make my brother stumble. You know, Paul always sets the example. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, if you went to chapter 11, verse 1, when our study in this all ends, he says, imitate me even though as I imitate Christ. Paul is always setting the example. There in chapter 9, verse 22, he says, to the weak, I am as weak. I become like they are. Why? That I might win them. That's what love does. Love is always building up the believer. Well, I got in trouble. Well, we're going to cut you down. We're not going to cut you down. We're going to restore you. We're going to love you back to health. You're part of my part of the body that I belong to. Amen? That's what we're to do. We're to love one another. We are to help one another. Paul says, I will go to any extreme to make sure that I never cause my brother to stumble, the ones that Jesus has died for. Augustine put it this way. As long as you love God, as long as you love your neighbor, you may do whatever you wish and you will not fall into sin. What a great word. Love does no harm to his neighbor. Amen? Why? Love fulfills the law. In one word, isn't that amazing? Love does it all. And that's what we do. We're to build one another up. It says in Romans 14:13, listen to these scriptures for a moment. Paul says this, I determined to do this, never to put a stumbling block or cause to fall in my brother's way. I know and I'm convinced by the Lord Jesus Christ that there's nothing unclean in itself, talking about food or meat. But to him who considers anything to be unclean, okay, well, to him it's unclean. Yet if your brother, listen carefully, yet if your brother is grieved by your food, just your eating, whatever it might be, something sacrificed to an idol. It says, if he's grieved because of your food, you believer, you Christian, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy. That word means ruin, to bring to uselessness, to make someone useless. It says, do not destroy with your food. In other words, you down at Uncle Julio's, you know, with the whatever. Don't destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. That's amazing. It says, what you do causes a Christian to stumble. It says, you're no longer walking in love. No, that's what it says. You're not walking in love at all. He goes on and he says in Romans 14:20, do not destroy or literally tear down the work of God for the sake of food. Indeed, all things are pure, but it is evil for a man who eats with offense. Now listen carefully. It is good neither to eat meat. It is good neither to drink wine, nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or he's offended, or he is made weak. Boy, that's something that we always want to remember. You know, I remember one time I was counseling some people that, this was a few years back, that they were addicted to gambling. You know what I mean? They were always at that, what's that place called across the border in Oklahoma? It's called something. I love this side. Pure and holy. The Windstar. Well, let me ask you a question. If I'm counseling somebody like that, do you think I would have a deck of cards next to my Bible? No, why? Come on. You could offend them. See, we have to be careful with what we do. You know, I mean, if, you know, people that are hooked on drugs or something, dear God, you don't want to, well, you know, I take it, it doesn't bother me. Well, no, but you want to tell them that? But it is bothering them. They're in trouble. Are you listening to me? Oh, loved one, listen, we need to help people. You know, love builds up. You know, one of our commandments that we have in our vision statement here at this church, you know, is the great commandment, to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Do you know the way that you treat God will be the way that you treat your neighbor? And you do that in love. When Jesus was in the upper room, what did he tell the disciples there? He said, listen, a new commandment I give unto you. He says that ye love one another, and here's the new part, as I have loved you, to the same degree as I loved you. He says, by this, all the world, everyone will know that you're my disciples. Not because you have a Bible in your hand, not because you go to church, not because you're a member of the church, not because you've been water baptized. No, because you love. And love does no harm to a neighbor. You see, love always builds up. Love looks at others instead of self. Knowledge just puffs up. Oh, but love, it builds up. Loved one, listen to me. We are living in crazy, crazy times. I'm seeing a shaking all over the world, aren't you? And who knows where it's leading, but I can give you a good word this morning, a sure word, a word that is perfect truth, and that is this. Jesus Christ is coming. He is coming for his church. I don't know the day. I don't know the hour. I only know what I've been commanded to do and you've been commanded to do, and that is watch. Be ready, for you do not know the hour. You do not know the day when he's going to return. You know what? If you don't know Christ and he comes, you're going to be left behind. You're going to be left behind in a world that is going to just be falling apart. The Antichrist, maybe he's even already born on this planet. I don't know. I know that he's going to come out of the Gentile nations. I know the Bible says in Revelation 13:8, it says the whole world, all those who do not have the Lord's, you know, name written upon them, the whole world, those that don't belong to Christ, the whole world, they're going to worship him. And you know what they're going to have to have? They're going to have that mark upon their foreheads, upon their hands, someplace, because they can't buy, they can't sell, they can't go to the doctor, they can't buy pharmaceutical medicine, they can't get anything. Complete control. Boy, that day's coming. Aren't you glad we're going to be in heaven? Amen. Listen, I'm telling you, if you don't know Jesus, today's your day. You need to come home. You need to get right with God. See, there's no guarantee. Life is short. I was counseling with I found this workman that came to my home yesterday, and I missed prayer time because of it, but I had to be there to let him in and do this. And you know what's so cool? He just starts talking to me about the Lord, man. I'm going, oh, this is going to be good. I was supposed to be in there working on my sermon. I just listened to him, telling me all that God had done in his life. Telling me all about how it changed his life. Listen, this world is passing away, but he who doeth the will of God abideth forever and ever and ever and ever. Do you know Jesus? I'm not talking about, do you know I belong to a church or I'm a member of a church? I'm saying, do you have a personal relationship with our Savior? If you don't, you can right now. You see, you can ask him to come and live in your heart. You say, well, Bill, you don't know what I've done. He does. And he paid for it. He paid for your sins. Why would you want to pay for what Jesus has already paid for?
Pastor Bill's 1 Corinthians study will continue on our next broadcast. And we do encourage you to tune in once again. Amen? Thanks everyone for listening with us today. Be blessed and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.